So yeah, I like throwing parties, and I just brought some pictures along to show you some of the fun I've had over the last years. When someone asks me what my hobbies are, I really don't know what to say. I am not fancy like some of you. I don't read. I don't crochet. I'm not into plants very much. I throw parties. It's what I do for fun. I threw my first party at age 10. It was a surprise party for my parents for their anniversary. I literally called ladies from church and asked them to bring food. And I came home from school one day and told Mom that she and Dad are going to have to stay in the room until, like, people are coming for this party. And we had a party. My oldest is 10, and I just don't foresee that happening with her. what if you're not like me, though? What if you don't really like throwing parties? Maybe you like throwing parties, but it doesn't feel like it's natural for you. It's often stressful. You're looking at me thinking, okay, she's one of those people. Like, it's easy for her. You know, we're a wide range in there. If you are feeling like I'm not one of those people, and it usually goes badly for me, and it's high stress, I'm super excited today. I feel like I have a lot of hope to offer you, specifically through one person that I have learned from. This lady, I'm sure you've all heard of her. And actually, I would guess most of you have a book about her on your bookshelf. I'm going to put a picture of her on the screen, and if you recognize her, just call out her name. So right here, you're seeing a little video clip of our bookshelf at home. Here I'm pulling out an Amelia Bedelia book, and on the back, look here, America's Favorite Housekeeper. Let me try to turn this off. Amelia Bedelia was named America's Favorite Housekeeper. And surely we want to learn from America's Favorite Housekeeper. What gave her that title? Tell me some things about Amelia Bedelia right off the bat.
She dressed
a chicken.
Okay. Very literal.
Yeah.
She was always
Yeah.
Chocolate chip cookies.
Mm-hmm. She was good at desserts. She was good at something. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Very blonde. Yeah. So she, in the stories you read of her, she messes it up every time. I don't think there's one story where she didn't mess up. She's an airhead, very, very blonde. One thing I notice is that in the stories, she's always still smiling. You notice that? She just got this pleasant, even after she messed up. She doesn't take herself too seriously. It doesn't ruin her when she fails. She seems genuinely sorry that she messed it up for him, and she's going to try to improve. She's willing to learn. But she moves on. And yeah, she's still smiling. And I already mentioned this, but she's good at something. She's good at desserts. And you know what? She covers a multitude of sins with that one talent. She really leverages that. In one of the stories, Great Aunt Myra was a fancy relative of Mr. and Mrs. Rogers, and they wanted to impress her. And Amelia Bedelia was helping get ready for this, and of course, I mean, it was a disaster. But Aunt Myra, Great Aunt Myra, was really getting a bang out of Amelia Bedelia, and she was taking a liking to her. And she in the end, she says she thinks she's going to come back. She said that Amelia Bedelia really knows how to make a body feel at home. There was something about her that made her feel at home there. And I think showing our humanness to people makes them feel at home with us. Because we're all just Amelia Bedelias. I'm going to read a story. This is a true story. It happened to someone I know. I asked her permission to share it. It was in a Christmas letter she sent to us a couple years ago. I changed names. When John was holding a Bible study with our friend Cody in the living room one evening while I was washing the supper dishes, he innocently requested a hot tea. Ben quickly wanted his own cup, and since I was in a particularly magnanimous mood, I filled a whole teapot of hibiscus tea to steep for the children. When it was ready, I handed a mug to him. He didn't realize that it already held tea and lifted it in a great swooping motion. Hot tea flew everywhere, drenching his shirt and chest. I quickly removed his shirt amidst the howling cries and rushed him upstairs as discreetly as it is possible to rush a half-naked siren. Once we got him tended to and well-salved, I came down to clean up the bright pink sticky tea off the floor and cabinets. But instead, I found Jimmy, who had crawled into the pantry, found an irresponsible brother's egg bucket, and was having a glorious scrambled egg party. As I headed upstairs with him, I saw Billy and Sam running to and fro in the midst of the Bible study, trying to catch an elusive white gerbil. I peeled off Jimmy's gooey clothes, gave him a bath, and put him to bed so he couldn't wreck anything else. I also snagged Susie and popped her into bed just to reduce numbers. When I got back downstairs, the Bible study was over. Cody had helped catch the gerbil, and that amazing John had finished washing the dishes, cleaned up the eggs, and was almost finished mopping the floor. By 9:30 that evening, I was ready for our overnight company, two fine young ladies from PA. We trust that there is a moral to be found in evenings like this. I admit that I have not been able to think of one yet. Okay, we can all feel this with her. Don't you just feel sorry for her? We've all had something kind of like this happen to us. When I asked her permission to share this story, she said, yeah, it's fine. She said, maybe I can come to your seminar because obviously I don't have this hosting thing down pat. And I don't blame her for saying that. That's often what we say to ourselves after something like this. But I am here to tell you that she was being an amazing host that night. She, I think she's got the hosting thing down pat. She was letting her husband host a friend to have a Bible study in her living room the same night she was getting overnight company. She was serving tea to her husband, to all her children. She was washing up dishes from the supper she'd probably worked hard to make. She didn't do it wrong. Now, there may be just a few tiny things she can think about to make so that's not going to happen again, because it was not fun to live through that. Like, okay, she might think the egg basket, it has to be up high, and like the toddler may not be able to get to that. Maybe the gerbil has been getting out a lot lately and it's time for him to go. Like, we're just gonna something like that. Like, there is something small she could think about to make so that's not going to happen to her again. But the bottom line, the overarching truth I want to share with you is that she was, okay, you are not, she was not a bad host when these situations happen to us. We often look at others more kindly than we do ourselves when something like this happens. We feel a lot of love for this poor lady in the story. But when it happens to us, we just think, oh, we're just so bad at this. We might watch someone else who's busily working in her kitchen as they're hosting and treat them much more kindly than we would ourselves. Be kind to yourself. Talk to yourself like you would to your own daughter. Would you bash her if you saw her working as hard as you are? Would you not feel so much love and compassion to her? You're doing great. hosting is work. It involves some level of stress usually. And think of it, okay, you're making food, probably more than one dish, maybe many dishes. You're trying to get your house clean. Maybe you have children interrupting you many times a day and undoing your cleaning. Maybe you're a senior who finds it hard to move around and it takes you much longer to get your work done. Maybe you're single and you have a full-time job, plus you're, you know, trying to keep up with your house. You might have a husband that wants things of you. You're also thinking about how you can make this enjoyable for your guest. You want nice conversation that's going to flow. You want them to be comfortable. You want them to feel loved. Oh, and you're supposed to stay calm through all this. It's a lot. It's going to be work, and it's probably going to come with some level of stress. And like I said earlier, just because you feel stressed doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. Stress is completely normal. And like Abby taught us this morning so well, you know, we have tools to help us combat that. But just stress in general, we're not going to get away from. We are trying to reduce it, take little steps to make it less stressful. And also, we don't really like the way we act when we're under stress. So we're trying to diminish that. And we can do little things to try to make it easier on ourselves. But let's not think that we can get to a point where there's going to be no stress. Just a side note, that the people who make hosting look easy and that you consider to be the strong people in your life, they don't necessarily just have an easy pass. It's work for them too. It's true. We're made up differently, and hospitality might come more naturally for some than others, but the ones who are good at it are not superhumans. And maybe they've just learned a few things in that particular area that you haven't yet. You can learn from them. Watch them. What does she do that's gotten her to the place where you want to be? This is not a time to be threatened by them or intimidated or feel less than them. Look at them positively, like, what can I learn from her? Another side note is to look out for strong people in your life. Like, who takes care of your deacon's wife, for example? Or the lady who seems to have it all together? They really don't have it all together and don't want you to assume that just because they're handling this well means it's super easy for them, or somehow it's not work for them. So back to trying to get our stress levels down. Something we want to avoid is what Kendra Adachi calls big black trash bag energy. Do you know what that is? This is the energy you might feel about February, when the winter's getting long, you've had Christmas, you've got the house, and more, you know, stuff was just brought in with gifts and everything. The house is a wreck. Everything, your systems, like your routines, like Hannah was talking about, are nothing feels like it's in a routine, and you're just ready to go through, pick up everything you see, and, you know, we might as well burn the house down while we're at it. And we often do that when our lives feel chaotic and out of control, and we might do it with our hospitality skills too. We might say, okay, my food burnt, the house was dirty, the conversation didn't flow, I'm bad at hosting, it's not for me. That's probably actually not true. It's probably more true that you have a weakness in a specific area. Kendra encourages us to ask ourselves questions to try to break down a big problem into something much smaller and more manageable. For an example, you might say hosting is stressful because your children are extroverts and are so excited about the company coming that they bounce around on your furniture and make you nearly lose your mind. And it's just bad. Maybe you're always late and you can never be ready on time. Maybe the food stresses you out so bad. Okay, so an example of a problem that's too big is just saying it's the food. The food. It's so stressful for me. Okay, think about the food. In order to get food on the table for your guests, well, first you decide what you're gonna have. Okay, there's menu, there's a shopping list, there's going shopping, there's prep, you know, setting the table. There's like fingers to it, so many layers. So can you make that big problem of food smaller by asking yourself questions like, what about the food stresses me out? What's the biggest pain point? And then work on that first. You work on one little thing at a time. And you just make it as small as you can. We all do wish for a perfect formula for how to get things done and host well. The thing is, we're all different. And a formula that's going to work for you is not going to work for me. We can't do it all, but we can do enough. And we each get to prioritize what is most important to us, what we're going to spend most of our energy on, what we care about most when we're hosting. I remember one time in Sunday school, there was a young mom who was feeling helpless and overwhelmed with housework. You know, she was saying, how do you get it all done? Like your house, your outside work, like how do you get it done? And there was a senior lady who just kind of calmly said, she said, there's a way. And I know she didn't mean there's a way to do it all, but she was saying there is a way to do enough. If you're feeling frustrated with hosting or really any area of your life, try to single out a specific issue, like I said, and work on that. Big black trash bag energy isn't sustainable and it doesn't work for very long. You might have that energy for a day and get a lot done, but it's not sustainable. What is sustainable is very, very tiny steps towards your goal. Just make your problem smaller. The thing with big trash bag energy, big problems, is that they require big solutions. And those are hard to figure out. But a small problem only requires a small solution. And we can manage those. Doing this in different areas of your life, small though the solutions may be, and even some of them will be silly. I mean, you know, the 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, that feels silly, just counting backwards. But those small things, they can really make a collective difference. Something else to remember is that if you find something that works for you, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work for the rest of your life. Like if you start something and it's working for you, keep doing it. But then if it starts not working, it doesn't mean that you're failing. It just means you need to, you know, find another solution and try that. Try to avoid the all or nothing mentality. I used to be the all or nothing perfectionist in my house cleaning. When we first got married, I would spend hours cleaning our tiny apartment where just the two of us lived. But then when I started having children, it was like, okay, this is a joke. I went the other extreme where it was like, if I can't do this perfectly, I'm just in a season right now where I can't clean hardly at all. But I think now what I'm working on is the middle ground where I'm not as much of a perfectionist, but I still try. I do my best in the season I'm in. I think a difference I've seen in generations is I think the seniors here, you were taught the importance of keeping house well, and that a high level of excellence included housekeeping and making good food, and that was a way that's how you gave God your best. Then I think maybe like younger generations came along and said, well, wait a minute, that food isn't what matters, it's the relationships what's important, and housework isn't important at all, so we don't need to care about our houses. So what does matter? If we feel completely overwhelmed, shall we just say that none of the house stuff matters? I was talking to my sister-in-law about this, and she said that in her mind, hospitality and a clean house are two separate things, and she's right. A dictionary definition for hospitality is the friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. That mentions nothing about a clean home, but the thing is, those two different things meet together so many times. Like, usually when we're showing hospitality, it's in our houses, and the state of our house does affect the experience of our guests. We don't want them to be genuinely grossed out at our house. It is an act of politeness to at least try to make the environment inviting and clean as is feasible. It is hospitable to try to make our homes enjoyable to be in. That being said, if you find yourself in one of those nightmare situations where your house is in shambles and you're caught, lay that aside, because at that point there's nothing to do except pour on the hospitality. That has certainly happened to me. My aunt once said that, you know, she's already been at a very nice house where everything was so-so, the food was amazing, everything was just perfect, and she left, and when she left, she thought, that was so refreshing. And she's also been to a very simple house where nothing fancy, nothing maybe much to eat, and when she left, she thought, that was so refreshing. The point is that you can have that refreshing feeling pretty much in any setting. It so much depends on the atmosphere and the host. So just give what you have to offer, no matter if it's fancy or simple. I used to wonder if I am spending too much money or time on something like decorating or nice food or whatever. I didn't want people to feel intimidated, or like if I come to their house now, they have to do the same. That bothered me. But I came to the place where I didn't worry about that anymore when I realized that, okay, God, this is a gift God has given me, and so I better use it. And it's all for Him. I'm using it for Him. And just use what you have been given. I have a quote written on a chalkboard in my entrance, and I've had it there for months and months, and I can't bring myself to change it because I like it so much. It says, "Welcome, come in and stay a while. Leave all of your worries at the door, for this is a place of peace, a place to rest, laugh, and love, a place to gather together and share in all of the blessings that we have been given. This is our home in which you will always be welcome and belong." My favorite part is the part that says, "We will share in all of the blessings that we have been given." The picture of, like, God, like, we're just sharing in the stuff together that God has given us. Hospitality actually has nothing to do with you. I mean, you're the one that's going to have to do the work, but hospitality is about them. This is not about proving anything to anybody about who you are. Celebrate the people who come into your house, and fake it even if you don't feel it. We really do not like that fake it thing. We don't want to be fake. That's true. But hospitality is a Christian's duty. And like many other things in the Christian walk, there are times we need to do things when we don't want to. Like forgiving someone, that's really hard to forgive. My husband is really good at hospitality and at thinking of people who could use a lift. And he will sometimes suggest that we invite someone or go visit someone. And I have learned that the thing to do is to go along with it, even if I am tired and really not in the mood. Pretty much 100% of the time, I'm blessed by it and glad we did it. I just said to fake it if you need to, but also, you have to really mean it. When you're doing the hospitality thing, I think our attitudes really come out, even in the attitudes towards the work we have to put in. I have made it my goal to think positively about everyone who comes in my door. Tell yourself you're going to be all in with treating these people like royalty. Give their baby the high chair if yours would still use it. Put the coffee maker on delayed start for them if they're going to be leaving really early the next morning. Just anything like that. Just be the servant. Like, just go above and beyond. This past spring, a year ago, we were in Kenya visiting Javon and Abby, and we went to Rondo Retreat. And the Kenyans there are like the picture of hospitality. They are just, they want to serve you just as much as they can. Always got a smile on their face. You know, what can they do for me? And I just thought, why would they serve me? I'm this rich American, probably have a lot more than they do. I've done nothing to deserve this. Why would they cater to me? But that is, it's so inspiring, their hospitality. And that's what I want to do to other people. No matter if I see them, you know, like I'm intimidated by them and their status is way higher than mine and they've done nothing to deserve this. If it's that, or if it's someone who, you know, might be hard to love, it doesn't matter who it is. Everyone gets the royal treatment. That's what our goal is. Just the other week, we had church camping in the woods behind our house, and I had taken a little extra time to go get some flowers and, you know, set up a little, just like you do, to make it pretty, and it's totally unnecessary, but I did it, and the man who had the message mentioned the decorating, and he said, you know, this is something women are good at. They put the pretty touches on there, and he said, it's their way of saying you belong. And it really blessed me that he caught that's what we're saying. I think sometimes that's what we're feeling, but it feels kind of frivolous or like, is that actually? But no, it's telling people they belong. And I remember another older man in our church thanking me one time for something little decorating I'd done. He just thanked me for it, like it meant something to him. And I think when we host well, we are telling people that they matter. It comes out in all different ways. Serving good food could be a way. Nice decorations or awesome communicating skills when you're talking to them. We're unique. We have different, it comes out in different forms, but those little things, those touches, those things we're good at, all communicate that they matter. This past spring, the week leading up to Easter, I saw on my calendar that I have an open week, and I was so excited. I was going to really try to extra much this year, you know, get ready for Easter and bask in God's presence and, you know, really be God aware. But as weeks tend to do, it filled right up, and I found myself serving others hard that week. And I remember I was messaging our ladies' chat, and I remember the thought came to me, and this is what I wrote, that I bet Easter week could be practiced in no better way than doing his work in the tiny things that seem so very earthy, and that is best how we honor him and lift him up. I do think that sometimes what we think God wants most of us is maybe not actually what he's asking of us, and all these little things that seem insignificant are actually our calling. You know, we're broken, we're selfish, we're annoying. We annoy other people and other people annoy us, but it's all we've got. People is all we've got. And nothing besides God matters more. And that alone gives us so much purpose to our hospitality. So in all of this, the state of our mind is a really big deal. Sometimes it's annoying how big of a deal it is. Like what happens in our minds, so much of our problems are simply in our heads, in our minds, how we're thinking. I remember the time I was filling in for a food committee at a ladies' luncheon. I had a newborn, and I remember sitting on the kitchen bar stool nursing my baby, and I couldn't even help because I was feeding him. And I thought, this is ridiculous. I can't even help. I shouldn't be doing this. Someone else should have been willing to take this spot today. And I remember my sweet aunt seeing me there nursing my baby, and she commended me, and she made the comment that often in situations like this, it's mostly about keeping our minds calm. Yeah, it was kind of crazy for me to be there trying to feed and be on the food committee. But I have learned that if I tell myself I'm okay, I'm doing great, this isn't too wild for me to handle, then I can handle it. Usually handle it okay. It really, really matters what we're telling ourselves. We can be saying, this is so hard and everything is out of control. Or we can tell ourselves, it's not too bad. It's okay. I'm doing great. God is helping me. I also remember the time I was changing my newborn, and she was crying. And I think we were both maybe a little worked up. And I started singing, you know, to try to calm her down. And the funny thing is that it calmed me down. I needed to sing for me. And I never forgot that. It's literally, if you're feeling stressed, sometimes just start humming. And it's like you're taking care of yourself. You're calming yourself down. There's also the theory that I've heard, someone called it the so what theory. You didn't get much sleep last night? So what? There's peanut butter all over your couch? So what? Your child is sick again? So what? Now, that doesn't mean we don't care about things, but that attitude of just, you know what, so what, is really helpful sometimes. I want to be so anchored in Christ that chaos around me does not produce chaos within me. And rest in our minds is a byproduct of a relationship with Jesus. I don't think rest is something we can really strive for and get it. I think it's more that if we're in a real relationship with Jesus, we're going to have rest. Schedule rest. And did you know that stepping outside for even 2 minutes can be self-care? You know, spa days are great. They don't come around very often. But every day, you can treat yourself to self-care. 2 minutes outside or something similar. And maybe you'll be better able to handle the chaos inside. I have just a list of random things you could think about and choose one or a few that maybe would help you, maybe not. Practical things, I'm just going to read down over them. If you're doing decor for something, and by the way, you don't need to do decor for something if that's not your thing. There again, you get to choose. Actually, one thing Bernice has said is that you get to choose if you're going to have good food or a beautiful table. So, you know, sometimes, a lot of the time, we only have time for one of those. We might have an awesome menu, but we don't have time to make the table pretty. But you can also make a really pretty table and serve, you know, mac and cheese, and people will think it's great. That idea of choosing what you're going to spend the most time on, you get to decide. But yeah, if you're doing decor for something, I like to think big. Okay, like these balloons, big. That makes just a few things that are big or many, like if you have a whole bunch of something, it makes a bigger splash than a bunch of little things. People love a themed party. Anything can be a theme. One thing I like to do is buy paper plates at the store, and if you find a cute plate that you like, you can go with that as your theme. So if there's a butterfly on it, we'll have a butterfly theme or whatever. This is only if this is something you want to incorporate. Always plan more time than you think it will take. Plan on it taking time and a half as much time as you think it will. A 10-minute timer is one of those little things that you think, whatever, 10-minute timer, but it can be a practical help. Work very fast for 10 minutes. If you have a pile of dishes, just 10 minutes on the dishes and you're done. 10 minutes in this messy room and you're done. And like Amelia Bedelia, focus on what you're best at. Ask yourself what matters the most to you. There's lots of things that can and do matter, but what's most important to you? Start as far ahead as you can. If you're hosting on Friday, start the process on Monday. One question that can be very helpful is, what can I do now to make it easier later? If you tend to something before it's urgent, it's going to be a lot less stressful. You want to be very willing to serve whatever your guests may need, however, I think if you just jump up and try to meet everyone's needs immediately, it can almost make them feel uncomfortable or like they're being a bother. This is something I've had to work on. You know, I wanted to let them know I'm here for them, but then it was almost like too much. So be relaxed. Tell your guests to let you know if they need anything. And I think then Great Aunt Myra would tell you that you really know how to make a body feel at home. don't apologize for things that aren't perfect. Just be yourself. Yeah, it's very cliche, but like I said, it's something I've been working on. A quote that my Aunt Rhonda had in her kitchen years ago that I loved so much and that she lives out so well is, "I shall pass through this life but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness I can show, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again."